بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. أما بعد, we continue the series. Last week was obviously the introduction. Alhamdulillah, they're available online now. So every week, inshallah, it will go up. The Al-Bayan Radio will be under their Podbean. So if anyone wants to find it, you can find it over there, inshallah. And also, Yani Ziyad will send them out, bidnillah. The first topic regarding etiquette that we'll speak about is obviously with Allah Azza wa Jal. When we speak about etiquette, obviously a lot of people think about etiquette in dealing with people. But the first and most important etiquette is our etiquette with Allah Azza wa Jal. How to deal with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And well, there's many ways, and I hope inshallah we can get for them tonight properly. We've given them their rights. But unfortunately, this is our biggest issue today. Because if you don't have etiquette with Allah Azza wa Jal, how are you going to have etiquette with anyone else? Just like, for example, they say if this person doesn't respect his parents, how is he going to respect other than his parents? For the believer, it's even more than that. If you don't have proper etiquette with Allah, how or why are you going to have problems or etiquette with anyone else? If you look at where a lot of the kuffar now have reached, and even unfortunately some Muslims, and why now do they have, for example, the euthanasia? Where if you want to, you know, you feel sick and you want to kill yourself, no problem. Medically, you can get a medically induced death. You go to the hospital, you find a doctor that's willing to do it, he gives you an injection, and you die. It's not called suicide, it's called euthanasia. It's a nicer name. Why is it legal? Because to them, they've got no boundaries anymore. Why should I have etiquette in my society? Why should I have etiquette in dealing with others? What's the issue? There's no boundaries. Khalas. That is why we have, unfortunately, people walking around naked. Men, women, in the types of clothes that they wear, in what they show, in where they show it. The etiquette that they're meant to have with other human beings is not there. Why? Because they don't have any boundaries. They don't have any guidelines because they don't either believe or they don't follow what Allah Azza wa Jalla placed. So once the believer understands his etiquette with Allah and implements his etiquette with Allah, then and only then he can implement and have proper etiquette with everyone and everything else. The first point in having etiquette with Allah Azza wa Jal is knowing who Allah Azza wa Jal is. This is part of the believer's, character, part of his personality. Who is my Lord? Once you know Allah Azza wa Jal, then and only then you can respect Allah Azza wa Jal. You can fear Allah Azza wa Jal. You can love Allah Azza wa Jal. If you don't know who Allah Azza wa Jal is, there's no reason for you to have that. There's no motivation for you to withhold from the haram. That's what Allah Azza wa Jal says, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهِ مِنْ عِبَادِيَ الْعُلَمَاءِ. Those who truly fear Allah are the sincere scholars. Why the scholars? Because they know Allah. They know who Allah is, they know Allah's names, they know Allah's attributes, they know what Allah's capable of, they know Allah's signs, they know what Allah wants from them, they know how to repent, they know all of these things. That's why they're able to revere Allah Azza wa Jal in a manner that the human being can best do. But if a person doesn't have that knowledge, impossible. And we give a parable, وَلِلَّهِ مَثَلُ الْعَالَى. If a human being sees, for example, a lion or a tiger, you're obviously not going to get into the cage with it. You're not going to get into its den. You're going to try and keep your distance because you know what that lion or that tiger is capable of. Get a two-year-old and put him in front of a lion or a tiger. They're not scared. They want to pull at its mane. They want to ride on its back. They're not scared of it. Why? Because they don't know what it's capable of. Similarly, put $1 million in front of a grown man or a grown woman. He will do everything he can to attain it. And he'll do everything he can to protect it. And he's scared to lose one note from that $1 million. But put it in front of a child, they couldn't care less. They'll draw on it, they'll throw it, they'll rip it, they'll bite it, they'll put it in water, they couldn't care less. Because to them it doesn't mean anything because they don't know its value, they don't know its worth. So when we do with Allah Azza wa Jal, if you know Allah, you know how to deal with Allah, you know how to revere Allah, you know how to respect Allah, you know how to fear Allah Azza wa Jal, you know how to love Allah, you can have that connection with Allah. But without that, unfortunately, you will never get it, you will never attain it. So it's important for us to learn who Allah Azza wa Jal is, to learn Allah's names and attributes, to learn what Allah has obligated upon us, to learn about Allah Azza wa Jal's forgiveness, to learn about what Allah said about Himself in the Quran, to learn about the actions of Allah, to learn about the perfection of Allah, so that the reverence of Allah Azza wa Jalla can be increased in our hearts and can be set and firm. Then and only then we'll be able to move on to other ways of worshipping Allah Azza wa Jalla properly. The second etiquette in dealing with Allah Azza wa Jalla is to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is to love Allah Azza wa Jal. When we say love Allah Azza wa Jal, what do we mean? You naturally, you have an emotion within you to love, a natural love. You love your mother, you love your father, you love your children. Some of us love our wives, okay? We love money. These are natural. Okay, these are natural loves. Allah Azza wa Jal is meant to be above all of these loves. Is meant to be above all of these loves. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَتَخِذُ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ أَنْدَادًا يُحِبُّونَهُمْ كَحُبِّ اللَّهِ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ. There are those who take deities along with Allah. They love them as much as they love Allah. But Allah Azza wa Jalla says, but those who believe are stronger in their love for Allah. How do I know if I love Allah Azza wa Jalla more than anything in this dunya? Very simple. If it's Allah Azza wa Jalla versus anything else, which one do I choose? If it's Allah versus, for example, a brand new house, I can have it but in riba. I can have the house but in riba. Or I can withhold for the pleasure of Allah. If you chose the pleasure of Allah, this is a sign that you love Allah. I want to get married, but I can't find a righteous, good woman. But there's a woman there, wallah, yani she doesn't pray, she doesn't know her religion, she doesn't wear hijab. Maybe she'll get better in the future, but right now she's not a woman that looks like she's pleasing to Allah. But I'm desperate to get married. Do I remain patient in the search for a righteous wife that is pleasing to Allah? Or do I marry that because my desires needs it right now? Which one of the two is it? A person can't find work. He has the opportunity to do haram and to maybe earn millions of dollars potentially. Or to be patient and be happy with what Allah Azza wa Jalla has written for him from halal rizq. When you choose Allah Azza wa Jalla, what pleases Allah, this is a sign of your love of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Yani now I remember GIYC maybe 10 years ago. The lessons used to be on Wednesday nights. State of origin night, because tonight's state of origin night. State of origin night, the masjid goes from full to at least empty. At least, that's bare minimum. Doesn't mean you don't love Allah. But in this particular situation, which one did you choose and prefer? This is a sad reality. This is a sad reality. For you always need to look at, if it's Allah versus something else in my life, do I choose what pleases Allah Azza wa Jal? If so, then this is a sign of your iman and a sign of your love for Allah. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, ثَلَاثٌ مَنْ كُنَّ فِيهِ وَجَدَ حَلَوَةَ الْإِيمَانِ أَنْ يَكُونَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولَهُ أَحَبُّ مِمَّا سِوَاهُمَا. The first sign, the Prophet said, there's three characteristics. Whoever has them has tasted or will taste the sweetness of faith, حَلَوَةَ الْإِيمَانِ. The first one is that Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam are more beloved to you min ma, not min man. Min ma siwahuma. They're more beloved to you than anything other than them. Man in Arabic means is for people. So it's not you love Allah and the Prophet more than the people. Because some people they couldn't care less about human beings, but he loves his car, mathalan. He loves his dog. He loves his body. He loves tattoos, whatever it may be. Something other than people. So the Prophet ﷺ said here, anything other than Allah Azza wa Jalla and His Messenger, you don't love more than them. They are on your number one, Allah, number two, the Prophet ﷺ, over everything in this dunya. This is the first trait. The second, and yakraha, the second is, وَأَنْ يُحِبَّ الْمَرْأَ لَا يُحِبُّهُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ. That you only love a person for the sake of Allah. How do I love a person only for the sake of Allah? That you have no maslaha with this person except that he's a Muslim. That's it. I could not care less. I couldn't care less about the benefit you might bring me. Wallah, I like this person because I want to marry his sister. I like this person because mashallah he's a big builder and I'm hoping to subcontract from him. I like this person because he gets me discounts on this. I like this person because he's known in the area, so if I'm with him, yani my reputation will be boosted. All of this means nothing to me. The only reason I love this person is for the sake of Allah. If there's benefits after that, khair wa barakah. No problem. If there's benefits, you can benefit from the person. But that's not why I love this person. That's not why I'm with this person. I love him for the sake of Allah. There's no I could not care about the benefits except that he's Muslim, except that he's a believer. And with or without those benefits, I love him because of Allah Azza wa Jal. And this is of course one of the people that are shaded under the throne of Allah Azza wa Jal on the day of judgment. And the third, أن يعود في الكفر أن يكره أن يعود في الكفر كما يكره أن يكذف في النار. And he hates to go back to kufr, يعني go back to the disobedience of Allah Azza wa Jal, just as he would hate to be thrown into the hellfire. Because that's the reality. If a person loves kufr and loves the disobedience, it's as if he's throwing himself in the hellfire. So just like you would hate to be thrown into the hellfire, you should also hate that kufr. Tabi, you hate that kufr, why? Because of Allah Azza wa Jal. Because you love iman. You love the tayyibat, you love purity. You love the aqidah of Islam, you love the ibadah of Islam, you love the asalib of Islam, the sulukiyat of Islam, the way of Islam. This is what your love is. And no matter what is other than that, you couldn't care. And this is, yani, these three traits, again, are very rare to come by. Not just in our time, but even in the times before us, where you love Allah more than anything in this dunya. And our time, the dunya has been opened for us like never before. The things to get your mind away from Allah have never been like they have been before. Before we used to say the shaitan is the TV. They learned that the shaitan is the TV and so they gave us the ifrit. They gave us a bigger shaitan. Now a person, yani people hardly watch TV now. He's stuck on his phone. You can't get away from, you're addicted. That people were addicted, but they were limited. Now, whether you're on the train, whether you're in your car, whether you're in your bed, doesn't matter. The phone has to be there and a person's on it. Get him away from, not just away from Allah, but away from reality. For a person, he's only befriend a person if he has a benefit. So the emotion is taken. That's a natural, that's a human's natural instinct. That he only likes the person that he can benefit from or that benefits him. Not that he, even if there's no benefit, he loves him for the sake of Allah. And for him to go back to kufr, or to go back to disobedience of Allah, just as he would hate to be thrown into the fire. A person loves the days where he used to do haram. Loves it. And sometimes wishes that that was the halal way so he can stick to it. He loves to wear certain types of clothing. He loves to walk in a certain way. He loves to associate himself with certain people. Are these people who are people of Allah? People that Allah is pleased with? No. They'll stay away from these people. To love Allah Azza wa Jal and to love the people that Allah Azza wa Jal loves and loves the actions that Allah Azza wa Jal loves. This is part of the proper etiquette in loving Allah Azza wa Jal. Number three, to be sincere to Allah. To be sincere to Allah Azza wa Jal. And this is an unfortunate reality where Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ حُنَفَى. They were not commanded except to worship Allah sincerely to Him, for Him is the religion. All your actions are only to Him. Hunafa, yani muwahid, without any shirk. Part of shirk includes what? You doing acts of worship for other than Allah Azza wa Jal. For you doing acts of worship for other than Allah. Sincerity is the essence of your deen. Without sincerity, you can't be a believer. If you say La ilaha illa Muhammad Rasulullah, but you don't truly believe in La ilaha illa Muhammad Rasulullah, you end up with like the munafiqeen. And if you're a mu'min, but you do acts of worship for other than Allah, to show off or for people to talk good about you, or for you to attain a certain worldly position, then you don't get hasanat for it. And on the day of judgment, that is a proof against you. So part of your adab, part of your etiquette in dealing with Allah, is to ensure you're sincere in all of your actions. And the ulama, they say that the niyyah is what changes an aada to an ibadah. The intention changes something that you normally do to an act of worship. Now you pay rent.
If you pay rent because خلاص, you just take, it's just something normal that I do. You paid $500 and that $500 is gone, or $600 or $700, whatever it is. That money is gone. If you paid $500, $600, $700 because Allah ordered you to look after your family, to put shelter over your wife and kids, to stay away from riba, you're getting hasanat for that $700. Imagine. Every week. When you go and you want to look good, you want to wear nice perfume, you want to get a nice haircut, you want to wear nice clothes. If you're doing that for yourself, because anta, you like to be like that, it's not haram, but you don't get any rewards. But if you do those acts, because Allah, because the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told you that Allah loves to see his blessings on his slave, then you get hasanat for it. If you like to be like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who used to look handsome, who used to fix himself in front of the people especially, so that they're easy to accept him, they're easy to take from him, they're easy to get along with him. If a person doesn't look nice, yani you're not comfortable with him, and you're not going to listen to what they say. But if a person looks nice, looks respectable, he looks presentable, you get hasanat for it, if that's your intention to do it for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. So something normal, you can get hasanat. Imagine the person's act of worship. When you pray, when you read Quran, when you get to lessons, when you give sadaqah, when you grow the beard, when you shorten the pants, when you don't intermingle, when you tell your wife to wear the hijab, all of these acts of worship, if your intention is sincere, alhamdulillah, you're a muflih. You're a person who's successful. But if your intention is anything other than Allah Azza wa Jal and pleasing Him, or you want to please Allah and another intention, and yes, I'm doing it to please Allah, but I also want people to say, wallah, this person, mashallah, mutallim. This person's learned. Then Allah says about that, أَنَا أَغْنَى الشُّرَكَاءِ عَنَ الشِّرْكِ. I am the most self-sufficient one regarding shirk. I don't need anyone to do shirk with me. I don't need any partners. And for one that does it, Allah says, تَرَكْتُهُ وَشِرْكَهُ. I leave that person any shirk, any whatever act you done, and there was even a bit of riya there, Allah Azza wa Jal, minimally for that part, gets rid of that ibadah. خلاص, it's not there. And it turns into a sin. For a person always needs to recheck his intention. Am I doing it for the sake of Allah? Don't let it lead you to a swears. Am I doing it for the sake of Allah? I'm not going to do it in front of other people. I'm not going to do this. Allah. It shouldn't lead to a swears. But just check your intention. One way to check your intention is, if the people weren't here, would I do it? If the answer is yes, alhamdulillah, this is it. You're sincere. Yeah, and now, for example, you're going to pray sunnah. That if the people weren't here, would I pray my sunnah? If the answer is yes, whether people are here or not here, I'll pray my sunnah. Then this is alhamdulillah, son of sincerity. The question, do you do it when you're by yourself? And would you do it if you're by yourself at home, mathalan? If the answer is yes, khayr wa barak, alhamdulillah, this is good. And there's no issue with this. But if the answer is, wallah, I wouldn't pray this long if I was by myself, that's where it becomes problematic. If a person just fixes his intention, just make sure for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, and a person moves on with his life and doesn't let the shaitan play with his mind. Allah Azza wa Jal says, the Prophet said regarding sincerity, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ سُوَارِكُمْ وَأَمْوَالِكُمْ وَلَكِنْ إِنَّمَا يَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ قُلُوبِكُمْ وَعَمَالِكُمْ. Verily Allah does not look at your fashioning, and how He created you, your strength, your length, your width, your muscles. Allah doesn't look at your fashioning, nor does He look at your wealth, how rich you are, how poor you are. Allah doesn't look at that. But rather, Allah looks at your hearts and your actions. What was the state of your heart at that time? Was it done for sincerely for the sake of Allah? This is the person that Allah loves and rewards. And the action, did you do it properly for the sake of Allah? Did you do it properly according to the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ? Then you're rewarded for it. And sometimes what a person could do, the most simplest of acts, the most simplest of acts. No one knows except Allah Azza wa Jal. No one knows except Allah Azza wa Jal. And he gets hasanat for it. I remember a brother in Egypt, there was a blind man. Not a blind man, a man who walked, yani one of his legs I think was shorter. And so he would walk with a big limp. But when he walks very slow. Not like some brothers, they walk normally, very slow. So I seen him, as he was walking, he walked slower. So he doesn't overtake that brother. And if that person's walking, he walk slower, just so he doesn't get in front of that person. Allahu alam, you know, this is what we believe, that he done that just so the other person doesn't get upset if he sees him walking past him, that look, subhanAllah, he can walk normally and I can't walk normally. And if you do something as simple as that, but for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, imagine the rewards that Allah Azza wa Jal gives you. That no one knows you done this act of worship except Allah, because it was an action of the heart that only Allah Azza wa Jal can see. But something as simple as that, look how big the reward might be. Sometimes a person, yani he knows, for example, yani his, mashallah, he's got wealth. He knows his brother or his cousin needs money. Mashallah, he's got a lot of kids. Maybe he's injured, he can't work, or maybe he works, but it's not that much. And he goes and asks him, Akhi, do you need money? Don't ask him, you know he needs money. Go without anyone there and some way give that person money. Don't have to give it to him like that. Throw over his fence. Allahu alam, do something. I'll give them my address. Well, alhamdulillah rabbil alamin, Allah just satarana. But wallah, there's a lot of people, wallah they struggle. Whether it's with his kids, yani a person lost their jobs, or yani you see a person, alhamdulillah, he's religious, but he can't afford to put his children into an Islamic school, and it might be $1,000 from you, but it changes that person's whole life. No one knows that except you and Allah Azza wa Jal. Always ensure that you've got a whole warehouse full of secret deeds between you and Allah Azza wa Jal, that no one knows except you and Allah. Well, again, something might be something so simple. Yani you're walking and you look like that woman. She was a prostitute. That's not an honorable person. She was a prostitute. But she went and gave the dog water. That's what she done. She gave the dog water and Allah forgave her sin. Many of the ulama say the reason she done that is because in the act of worship, she done it with complete sincerity to Allah. But who cares? It's a dog. If it dies, it dies. So what? No one's going to cry over it. And it's not like there's people around for people to say, wallah, look, this woman, she went and she gave a dog water, as people do today. You know, they give a dog water, but someone has to be recording so they can make it go viral. No one knows that she gave that dog water except Allah Azza wa Jal. And Allah made her an example until the day of judgment via the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam for a simple act that she done. No one knows, we don't know her name. No one knows that her time, because it's in the desert. No one knows that her time that she gave that, wallahu alam, no one knows at that time that she gave that dog water to drink. But she did. And she done it sincerely. And Allah forgave all her sins and entered into paradise, even though she was a major sinner. So you don't know what simple act you may do that may lead you to Jannah. But the most important part of your acts is obviously after it has to be in accordance to the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, or in accordance to Islam, and for it to be done properly. We'll try and get through the next ones, yani, as quick as possible. أَتَفَكُّرُ فِي نِعَمِ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكَ. For you to think and ponder over the blessings of Allah Azza wa Jal upon you. Wallah, this is, yani, if a person was to just sit and look and think about the ni'am of Allah Azza wa Jal, even though Allah says, yani, you will never be able to enumerate the blessings of Allah Azza wa Jalla upon you. You will never be able to count it. But you just think and just try and ponder. Yani, now, if you, yani, as you're listening to me, your hearing was to be taken off. Khalas. Allah Azza wa Jalla made you go deaf. So now you're sitting and you're hearing, you're seeing me move my mouth, but you can't hear anything. Just imagine how your life would be turned upside down. Or yani, now, yani, of course, as humans, this is what we get used to and we take it for granted. But yani, now it's night time. But alhamdulillah, we walk and we can go down the stairs easily, we get into our car, we're going to drive home, inshallah. Imagine if Allah was to take your sight. Khalas, that's it, it's black. You can't move unless someone tells you where to go. These are simple blessings of Allah Azza wa Jal. Some people, they might have had an issue where, for example, they couldn't urinate or they couldn't defecate, akramakum Allah. The pain that he felt, and this is something simple as yani, going and relieving yourself. Imagine if Allah took that ability away from you. That's besides yani your children, that's besides, alhamdulillah, your wife that Allah keeps you chaste by, that's besides your parents looking after you and raising you, that's besides the food and drink that Allah Azza wa Jalla gives you, that's besides the safety that we have, that's besides a million other things. And the biggest blessing is Islam. The biggest blessing Allah has blessed us with is Islam. You live in a non-Muslim country. The house between you and the kafir is the same. The car between you and the kafir is the same. The wealth between you and the kafir is the same. The school between you and the kafir is the same. The work between you and the kafir is the same. The only reason you're going to Jannah inshaAllah and the kafir isn't is because you believe in Allah Azza wa Jal and Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That's it. Because of this statement and the true belief in it is the only difference between you going to Jannah and the, forever, for eternity, and the non-Muslim being wa'adhu billah in the hellfire for eternity. Isn't that a blessing from Allah? When we think about our eyes, when we think about our hearing, when we think about our money, when we think about our children, all of this, wallah, yes, they're blessings. But they go nowhere near the blessing of La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. And then from that blessing of the Muslims, that Allah Azza wa Jal has chosen you to be from the people of religiosity. Allah has allowed you to come pray Isha in Jama'ah. Allah has allowed you to sit in the lesson. Allah has allowed you by His permission, not by our doing. Allah has allowed you by His permission to inshallah take the words of the Quran and the words of the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam via the understanding of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. You know, not a backward understanding, not a corrupt understanding, not an innovated understanding. The understanding of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Isn't this a blessing? This is the true blessing that we should thank Allah Azza wa Jalla for. And when you think about the blessings of Allah Azza wa Jalla, you force yourself to do what Allah Azza wa Jalla wants. You force yourself. Now, any human being, you, for example, you give me a new pair of shoes. Do I get the new pair of shoes and throw it at you? Or harm you with it? Obviously not. I say, well, this is aib. It's aib, it's rude. It's unacceptable. You gifted me something for me to now abuse you with it. When it comes to Allah, for example, Allah gave you your eyes. I know that these are from Allah. Wallah, it's aib if I look at haram. Wallah, it's aib. If I, for example, the mouth that Allah gave me, the tongue that Allah gave me, wallah, it's aib for me to backbite and slander and to swear. Wallah, it's aib. Allah sees me and Allah knows me and Allah blessed me with it. And I'm using this blessing to disobey Allah. This is not adab with Allah. So when a person thinks about the blessings of Allah, he changes. Wallah, he changes. But you need to think and you need to ponder. For us to remember that Allah Azza wa Jal is watching us. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ مَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ فَاحْذَرُوا. Allah says, and know that Allah knows what is in yourselves, so beware of Allah. فَاحْذَرُوا. Beware of Allah. This is a relationship between us and Allah, a relationship that's built on love, and has on one side the fear of Allah, on the other side the hope of Allah. But you need to have the fear of Allah Azza wa Jal, especially when you're a youth and you have strength. Because us, we think, khalas, we can do whatever we want, nothing's gonna happen to us. The old person thinks a million times, oh, I might die today, I might die tomorrow, or I don't have the ability. The youth, the young man, the strong man, he's got no concern in the world. Especially in the situation that we live in today. Yani wal'adhu billah, you have a pub on the east as well. Is a place for zina? Honestly. He said no, he said yes. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Yirana, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Wallah, yani, you leave a place of goodness. This is the unfortunate reality that we're in. You leave a place of goodness, it's very easy for a person to go, for example, and yani, what am I going to lose? $50 if I go to the TAB? $50? Minashia. What am I going to lose? Yani, heck, I'm just going to go to the pokies. Heck, $20. Yani, it's nothing. $20. Nothing more than $20. I win, I lose. Yani, what's $20? It's not like I'm broke. It's nothing. For a person, especially the youth, the shabab, He goes, "Are you sure? We'll go to that place. You go, you pay just a little bit of money, huh? It's one day's work maximum. You go and you commit zina. You're going to be happy. And all of your mates are doing it. And if you don't do it, like, well, and are you normal? What's wrong with you? Khalas, just do it. Everyone's doing it. You only know how good it feels after it's done." So he goes, "What's to stop him? Who's to stop him? Is he going to get whipped if he gets busted or stoned if he's married? He's not. There's no sharia. Is he going to get whipped if he gets busted drinking alcohol? He's not. If he's going to get punished if he's busted gambling? He's not. The only one that sees him, or the only reason he doesn't do it, is because of Allah. The only reason that stops him from committing this haram and this fawahish is Allah Azza wa Jal. Now, as we spoke about the phone, now who's the only one to stop you from doing haram on your phone? The only one to stop you is Allah Azza wa Jal. That's it. Because it's not like before, especially for the youth, the young brothers. It's not like before where they used to, for example, have to sneak down to get to the computer that was in the living room, or to sneak down and watch TV, watch haram. Like now, inside his room, under his blanket, no one's there except him and Allah. No one. Him and Allah Azza wa Jal, under that blanket. I'll make a PG rated for the young boys. Instagram. Like, Allah Azza wa Jal, may Allah put a corruption in Instagram where Instagram just collapses and there's no khair in Instagram. For anyone, for any of the young boys that are on Instagram, don't tell me you follow one or two Islamic pages that you skip anyway. I needed to download Instagram for something. I opened up to search. I know exactly where I'm going. I hit the search button. The only thing that popped up was breast. Not chicken. That was the only thing that popped up. I started laughing. I said, "Alhamdulillah, no one's here." Wallah, if someone says, "Shaykh, what are you doing?" Alhamdulillah, no one was there. But if you're a shab and you're on Instagram, where are you going? You're not only going to watch heck Muhammad do burnouts and Ahmed training for footy and Mustafa training at the gym. We all know the game. You start off on one person's profile, you see who liked his photo, you click on them. You see who liked their photo, you click on them. 1.5 hours later, you're looking at Jennifer from San Diego. The ones that are laughing and giggling, they know. This is where it's problematic. This is where it's problematic. Things like this, who's the only one that's going to stop you? All of the only one that's going to stop you is you knowing that Allah is there. For the muraqabah, this is a beautiful statement I read in this book. Al-Junaid, who is one of the big zuhad from the Salaf. This is the one that the Sufis all say we follow. But the Sufis attribute to him 1,000,001 lies. As he was a proper alim from the Salaf, but a big zahid. He was asked, "How can I lower my gaze?" And this is a question we all need to know. We should all be asking, "How can I lower my gaze?" He said a beautiful statement. He said, "Know that the sight of the one seeing you is quicker in seeing you than you looking at the other one." You're thinking that, "Well, I'm looking at that girl." The sight of Allah was quicker at seeing you and recording what you're doing and going to hold you to account than you looking at that girl. Huh? Even if it's just no one's there, no one can see anyone, and do you look? Know and remind yourself that, wallah, just as I looked, Allah Azza wa Jalla was quicker and more precise, and He's looking at me doing that sin. So you know when you're in your room by yourself, there's no one there. Allah Azza wa Jalla is there. So this is where we need to force ourselves and remind ourselves that Allah Azza wa Jal is watching. And as came the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam defining ihsan, when he was asked, he replied, "أن تعبد الله كأنك تراه فإن لم تكن تراه فإنه يراك." Know that ihsan, the highest level of iman, is to know that to worship Allah as if you see Him. And if you can't see Allah, then know that He sees you. This is a parable the Prophet ﷺ has given us. A very important parable. Why? Because human beings, we understand things that are close to us. If you're on the job site, and for example, work cover comes, now we need to make sure all the boxes are ticked. The hat is on, the boots are on, the appropriate dress is on. You make sure you look after your apprentice. You make sure you've parked properly. You make sure the job site has the proper protection, etc. But if no one's there, wallah, shahaita on the roof, no hat, yani mini shorts, the laborer, the apprentice haram, is a servant, and it's all of it is wrong. But because there's no one there, you don't care. When someone was there, you forced yourself to be right. Even if you didn't want it initially, but you forced yourself. When it comes to ihsan, the highest level of iman, this is where it comes. By you worshipping Allah as if you can say Allah. If you can't picture that, obviously don't try and picture Allah. Try and picture the scenario. If you can't picture that you say Allah, know that Allah Azza wa Jalla sees you. This is a level down. But know that Allah sees you. Khalas. Am I doing it properly? Am I doing it right? Is it pleasing to Allah? Am I going to be punished by this? Is it something that's going to benefit me? Or is it going to throw me into the hellfire? Etc. Even when it comes to having fun, even when it comes to relaxing, we still need to have the muraqabah of Allah. Doesn't mean that we have to pray 24/7 and be in the masjid 24/7. Doesn't mean that, of course not. But even when we're playing sport, even when we go to the gym, even when we're sleeping, even when we're with our wives, even when we're mucking around with our children, even if we're watching TV, whatever it is it appropriate? If it's not appropriate, then leave it. If alhamdulillah it's halal and it doesn't get out of the boundaries, it doesn't transgress the boundaries of Allah Azza wa Jal, then put your intention that you're doing it sincerely for Allah in order to get that relaxation so that you can concentrate and be motivated after, and then you get rewards for that inshaAllah. The next was ma'rifatullah, but we spoke about that briefly in the beginning. The last one that we'll speak about is al-khawfu min Allah Azza wa Jal, to truly fear Allah Azza wa Jal. May Allah Azza wa Jal give us that proper fear. This is not a fear, again, that a person says it leads a person to depression, or leads a person to anxiety, or leads a person to a swear saying that Allah's never going to forgive me. No. This is a fear that causes you to be right. This is a fear that causes you to be proper. This is very important. Again, وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى. When it comes to, for example, our fathers, we love our fathers, and we know our fathers love us. But we don't do wrong in front of our fathers. Why? Because we know that we're going to cop it. So you love Allah and you know that Allah Azza wa Jalla loves you because you're a believer. But you do not do the things that anger Allah Azza wa Jalla. This is the fear which is Islamic. And this is the fear that Allah Azza wa Jalla wants from us. And Allah Azza wa Jalla says, ذَلِكَ يُخَوْفُ اللَّهُ بِهِ عِبَادَ يَا عِبَادِ فَاتَّقُونَ. That is what Allah Azza wa Jalla instills fear in his slaves by. Oh, my slaves have taqwa. Here, even though Allah began the first beginning of the part with khawf. Oh, that is what Allah put fear into his slaves by. But then he finished, oh my slaves. He didn't say, ya ibadi khafu. He said, ya ibadi fattaqoon. Oh, my slaves have taqwa. Because taqwa, the fear, is meant to push you to taqwa. To fear Allah, but properly. To fear Allah by worshipping Him properly. By fear Allah with love and with reverence and with respect and with glorification and with understanding what Allah Azza wa Jalla wants from you, and to worship Him properly. Not a fear that some people have, Allah's never going to forgive me. Khalas, that's it, I'm done, I'm finished. That's su'a dhan billah. And that's disrespect to Allah, and that's lack of adab with Allah when a person thinks like that. A person should fear Allah to the extent that it pushes him closer to Allah. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, فَفِرُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ. فَفِرُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ. This is not said in the Arabic language. You say, فَرَّ مِن. For example, الرَّجُلُ فَرَّ مِنَ الْأَسَدِ. The man ran away from the lion. For example. But Allah says, فَفِرُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ. Farra means to escape because it's a problem. Allah says, escape, but to Allah. Who are you scared of? You're scared of Allah. But who do you run to? You run to Allah. For those who have parents, for those who have children, When, for example, you get to smack your child and they're scared, what do? They hug you. Now you're the one that's going to smack them. But what do? They seek protection in you. SubhanAllah, a lot of the relationship between the parents and the children, Allah Azza wa Jal, yani, use it as a parable for us and him. And this came in many ahadith. So you want to go hit your child, but your child gets that scared, first thing they do is they hug you and they cling on to you. Logically, it doesn't make sense. Emotionally, it does. And iman-wise, it does. فَفِرُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ. You're scared of the punishment of Allah, so who do you turn to? You turn to Allah Azza wa Jal and His mercy. This is, you're scared of kufr, you turn to Allah Azza wa Jal to save you from kufr. You're scared of waswas, so you turn to Allah Azza wa Jal, the controller of the shaitan and his waswas, to save you from that waswas. Anything that you need, you escape to Allah Azza wa Jal. You want to get run away from Allah's anger, where are you going to run to? You can't run anywhere. The one who's going to save you from his wrath and save you from his punishment is only Allah. لا ملجأ من الله إلا إليه. There's no running away from Allah except through Allah. And you want anything, you want to be saved from anything that you fear from Allah Azza wa Jal and his punishment, the only way that's going to happen is through Allah Azza wa Jal. We'll stop here and inshallah Azza wa Jal, we'll continue the etiquette of Allah Azza wa Jal next week. هذا والله أعلم وصلى الله محمد وعلى آله محمد وصحبه أجمعين.